the purposes of the church. The purposes of the church, and last month when I was with you, we looked at worship as one of the purposes of the church. And essentially what we were saying there was that true worship is that offered by a soul which is truly committed to Jesus. That's what true worship is. Worship, real worship, is offered by a soul wholly committed to Jesus. And the purpose of the church I want to look at, I want us to consider this morning, is fellowship. Fellowship. What do you think draws people to a church? What makes people leave their comfortable lives, come through a door of a church? Why? What do you think makes people to do that? What draws them to a church? And if they do come through the doors of the church, what is the one thing that people look for in a church? What is it they look for? Well, there's a research group called the Barna Research Group. It's a research organization focusing on the relationships between faith and culture. And their findings is that one of the main reasons a person attends church service is how much the people seem to care for each other. It's a really attractive thing that people find, hopefully find, in a church when they come. People care for one another. At least 50% of the unchurched audience found meeting other people a good reason to attend a worship service. It's their pathway into Jesus. They come and they find a fellowship where things are happening, where they're accepted, and through that acceptance, they may well find Jesus. In his book, The Body, Chuck Colson states the following. He says, "Surveys show that the number one thing people look for in a church is fellowship." So we can see fellowship is an important aspect of any church, and it should be. I wonder if you can just turn to your Bibles to Acts 2. Philip, when you found Acts 2, could you just stand up and read 42 to 47, please? Verses 42 to 47. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Acts comes after Genesis. Yes. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Thank you, Philip. The words, everybody meeting together, everybody sharing, everybody together at one time, comes across in that reading. And just as Phil was reading that, I was reminded of your vision statement, which you've just recently agreed, I believe, of knowing, growing, showing God's love. I think falls neatly into that category, doesn't it, of fellowship. Of fellowship, supporting each other, knowing each other, growing together. Knowing, growing, showing God's love. When we hear the word, what do we think of? What's the first thing that comes to mind? For some, maybe fellowship means a warm, affirming, sort of hot bath religion that soothes our frayed nerves and provides relief from the battering of everyday life. Sometimes we think of the social aspects of fellowship, and sometimes I think we can make the social aspects of fellowship an end in itself. We reduce fellowship to just a good meal or a time that we go places together, maybe shopping or going on retreats, etc. And for some, fellowship might mean no more than come together for church events. We meet in our fellowship halls and churches. But you know, in the New Testament, the word fellowship has a very distinct meaning. It means a communion, a participation of people together in God's grace. It means to have something in common. That's the New Testament definition of fellowship, a communion. It describes a community in which individuals willingly pledge to share in common, to be in submission to each other, to support one another and bear one another's burdens, to build each other up, to so strengthen relationships that when times of strife and trouble come, we've got each other to rely on. And all that's not just theory, it has to be a reality as well. Let me just reinforce that by quickly just running through some portions of scripture. You find many more pieces of evidence for what I'm saying. But Romans 12:16, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimations. Acts 1:14, they were there all with one mind, continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They had a single purpose. Philippians 2, 3, 4, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for one's own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That idea of putting others first. Romans 12, 4 to 5, 4, just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Acts 4, 32, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. You see, fellowship is a oneness of purpose. Fellowship is oneness of cause, a setting aside of personal agendas. It's a focused purpose. And that focus is on Jesus and his plans and his purposes. If we have fellowship at all, it's because we live for and we serve Jesus. You see, it seems through reading scripture on fellowship that if we do not accept what the Bible says about Jesus, we cannot have fellowship in its truest Christian form. It's quite challenging. If we don't accept what the Bible says about Jesus, we cannot have fellowship in its truest Christian form. If we're not walking in the light, scripture says, we cannot have fellowship. You know, I've been preaching for quite some years, and I think I said to you before, the first person who is challenged should be challenged by a sermon. If you're not challenged by a sermon, then you've got to question yourself why you're delivering it at all. And preachers can come across as making statements and making demands and giving the impression that they have sorted it, they have got it all done, they're the complete article. And of course the preacher, if they're at all honest with themselves, know that's far from the truth, that you haven't got it sorted, you know. And therefore when I read things like that, I think, well, because of my faults and my failings, am I saying I can't have fellowship? Well, in a sense I am saying that. But I always think and believe that we're too hard on ourselves. You see, if we could make things perfect and have things right all the time, Jesus wouldn't have had to come in the first place. And I think what the important thing is to acknowledge our own failings, acknowledge where we fall short, but then ask ourselves, is it the aspiration of our hearts to be something different? And I think that's the important thing. I think that's what God majors on. Is Frank. He's far from perfect. But is it the aspiration of his heart to journey with me where he is better? Where he is truly worshipping? Where he can have true fellowship with me? Is it the aspiration of a heart? And tell Frank not to be too harsh on himself, not to give up. You see what I'm saying? Is it the aspiration of your heart to fulfill these things? So back to fellowship. When you see that fellowship is oneness of purpose, it's oneness of mind and oneness of life, I suppose the question is, do you feel you have that sort of fellowship at Sandy Baptist Church? That's the question I just leave with you. If your answer to that is, well, I don't think we've got that, is it the aspiration of your heart to have that? And what am I going to do to fix it? What am I personally going to do to fix it? It's more than enough challenges there to keep us all busy, I suspect. But I just want to have a little closer look at fellowship. What is the objective of fellowship? Well, the reason that we have fellowship is to help each other. Encourage each other to live for Jesus, to encourage one another. There's no going it alone in the Christian faith. When I hear people saying that they're Christian and they're not part of a fellowship, they don't go to church, they're nearer to Christ than a God, and how many times I've heard that, and that's wonderful, but an isolated Christian is food for the devil. Isolate someone and then you can destroy them. Ephesians 2:19 says this. Other Christian, part of something wonderful, glorious. Every other Christian is your brother or your sister. One of the things that I enjoy doing a lot, particularly since I've retired, is I move around quite a bit in different churches. I meet up with some old friends, but I make some new friends as well, recognizing that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. What a wonderful thing it is. What a wonderful thing it is. We are called to belong, not just believe. We are not meant to live on an island of our own making. As parents, you're raising children in such a way that they have the tools to make it in life. Again, I'm giving you lots of scripture this morning, but 1 Timothy says, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another day after day, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Wow. Encourage one another. You know, nothing saddens me more than when I hear about those who fall out with his people. And sometimes it's the other way around. People fall out with each other and then they fall out with God. We have fellowship so that we can grow together in Christ. We have fellowship with one another so that we can be there for one another. We cannot help each other if we don't know each other. We cannot have true fellowship if we do not spend time together. We cannot help each other if we are afraid to be open with one another. A few years back, I was asked to work with a church. And I remember talking about this aspect of spending time together, building relationships, willing to get to know each other. And their response was, we don't want to live in each other's pockets. And I thought, nah, there's something wrong about that. We don't want to live in each other's pockets, you know. I terminated my relationship with the church because I realized that church was not going to go anywhere. They wanted to be isolated Christians. They didn't want to share. You see, we not only should be living in each other's pockets, we should be sharing each other's overcoats as well, if you want to continue that simile. That's the level of intimacy that we should have as his people. I want to just bring this to an end as I want to say, what are the benefits of fellowship? What's the benefits of fellowship? Well, I think I've touched on some of that, but just let me recap. It seems to be a basic human need for people to seek out fellowship, to experience that sense of community, to help us along the way. We seem to need people to live with so that our potential can be developed to its fullness. And the church provides us with a family for living. You know, many people don't have a biological family. They don't have a biological family. And the church family and the church fellowship may be the only family that they have. We need to make that a good family for them and for everybody else. Colossians 3 says, for those who true fellowship takes us into that area of supporting for each other. See, when God grants us the gift of genuine Christian fellowship, there is a deep, joyful sharing, and it replaces often that polite conversation that we exchange as Christians often on a Sunday morning. Sisters and brothers begin to discuss things that really matter to them, that are really concerning them. They disclose their inner fears, their areas of peculiar temptation, and their deepest joys. But this relationship has to be based on our relationship with Jesus. Fellowship is an important aspect of church life. It's one of the things, as I said earlier, which attracts people to it. And if the world does not see a church that is one in heart and one in purpose, they'll not take that church very seriously. So I want to leave you with a challenge this morning. As you look at the purpose of, as we look at the purpose of the church, to not just hear the message, but to think about how we can make these purposes our purpose. How we can take them on board and make them our purpose. So let us pray. And pray for each other. Pray for needs to be met. Pray for problems to be eased. Pray for health to be improved. For growth under the Holy Spirit. New revelations of God to us. You know, God is always building. God is always building. He's building himself into us. Lord, we hear these things. We understand them. Help us to embrace them, Lord, so that your purposes might become reality in our lives, individually and corporately and as a church. Father, we pray for Sandy Baptist Church. We prayed for its future. Lord, give this church a glorious future. But Lord, help us to ensure that it is built on a commitment to you, that it's your purposes which are important. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen.